Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church. I'd like to start off with announcements. Do we have any?
There's a get together this evening at 5 o'clock at the Strasser Farm. We'll have a cookout and a hayride and bonfire, and everyone's invited. Kids can wear their costumes. Let's see, what am I forgetting about that?
Wear your long johns.
Yeah.
How to get there?
It was in the bulletin. It's go down Nolensville Road. Jerry, how do you get there?
Down Nolensville Road, south, about 4.5 miles on the right is Mullins Road. Turn right there. That right there is Fast Greenery. Turn right there, and you'll see the, on down about 1/2 mile on the left.
All right.
Bring your hot dogs, chairs, buns.
Dress warm.
Dress warm.
Yes, ma'am.
Marshmallows. Thank you.
have any praise or prayer requests at this time?
My uncle Joel Brown passed away yesterday morning.
Yes, ma'am.
My youngest brother.
My nephew Jason, that I've been talking about several weeks, they let him out of the rehab unit yesterday to go home and see if he could just function at home and reevaluate him tomorrow. And he's okay, and they will let him go home Tuesday, but was going to physical therapy every day. He has all his mental facilities. He still has a little bit of short term memory. He's walking like a 90-year-old lady and all hunched over, and he's still having trouble using his hand to do anything with his stroke after his right side. But please keep him in your prayers. Thank you.
I have a praise. I thank you for all your prayer and support and all your help and healing has for Magic's removed a few days ago. And thank you, Brother Jonathan and Jean. They rescued, they got Anya, so she was spent night in the hospital. And by God's mercy, she agreed right away to go with them.
And she was awesome.
It was all smooth and thank you.
We see you.
Michael, we're glad to have this mighty witness.
Yes, we are.
We thank everyone for praying for Amy and continue to pray for her. She's lots better, but we'd like to see her even better. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for all your prayers. And by the way, put Jet on your prayer list. I was told last Sunday that I didn't put her on there, and she's had a call. really appreciate it, and I know she would, and I'd be out of the dog.
I have a 91-year-old uncle by marriage in Germany. He's had a tumor removed from his neck this coming week. And also, J.T. Rubenthal, he's just been doing for care, is having
Nancy Linder had foot surgery on Tuesday. She's home and recovering, but keep her in prayer too. She continues to.
You all know my sister was here last Sunday, and she was going to have surgery. She did, which was very successful. But she has sometimes allergic reactions to medications, and her blood pressure actually dropped like 60 over 40, and or it was even worse than that, I think. But she was semi-unconscious. She knew she was going under and called the nurse, and she semi-unconsciously, I guess, spoke them through how to help her. But she says she feels like it was a miracle of God that she is, you know, that she's doing well and her blood pressure continued not to drop. And she knows it's a miracle, and she wants to thank you all for the prayers.
I need to say a prayer for Amy Dean who comes here too. She's not feeling very well. She's
okay.
And also, if you could pray for my Aunt Sonia. She lives in Argentina. She suddenly lost hearing in both ears and recovered some in one, but they're not sure what happened, if it was a stroke or we don't know. They're checking into that, but her name's Sonia.
And a prayer of praise for last night's coffee house. It was very moving, very, I don't know how to explain it. It was very community feeling, very fellowship and worship.
I just want to pray for my aunt. She has pneumonia. She's suffering from kidney infection. So,
Ivy.
Mike, I've got several friends that have, they may not be related, but stomach ailments where they're having some unexplained weight loss, and instead of being one of them. And so we just keep praying for them so they can figure out what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
right. If there's no more, please join Brother Jonathan in the prayer of praise and adoration.
As we pray, remember to write these prayer requests down on the cue card and put them in the offering when it comes by. Thank you. Father, we come to you now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we look to you today because you are our God. You are the answer to everything we need. Lord, you are creator of all things. And you have put everything together in all of its intricacies, and you know exactly how it works best. Lord, we ask that you would move in the lives of each one that has been lifted up this morning. Because all of these prayer requests represent the things that have gone wrong, the things that aren't right, the things that need attention and need to be fixed. And Lord God, you are the creator. And so we call on you to Lord, just move in the lives of each one of these to restore, to heal, to make things right. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you not only for these that have been lifted up by name today, but Lord, also those that are on our extended prayer list. People that we've been praying for a long time. And Lord God, we know that you are at work in their lives, that many are praying and have been praying, and we add our prayers together with the saints today and ask, Lord God, that you be glorified in each of these lives through doing your mighty works of healing and restoration. We give you praise and glory. It's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask these things. Now help us, Lord, to worship you in spirit and truth today, to look to you and to glorify you in every way. And Lord, may we glorify you through this prayer that you've taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Merciful to me, O Lord.
For I am calling on you constantly.
Give me happiness, O Lord.
For I am calling on you constantly.
for I give myself to you.
My God, he is always for me.
may be seated. The call to confession this morning comes from Psalm 86. O Lord, you are so good, so ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who ask for your help. Listen closely to my prayer, O Lord. Hear my urgent cry. I will call to you whenever I am in trouble, and you will answer me. The prayer of confession is in silence. Just join me. Amen. Hear these words of assurance, also from Psalm 86. Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may live according to your truth. Grant me purity of heart, so that I may honor you. With all my heart, I will praise you, O Lord, my God. I will give glory to your name forever. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise Him, all you people of the earth. For He loves us with unfailing love. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. Praise the Lord. Will our ushers come at this time?
Accept these tithes and these gifts. letting us return this portion to you of what you so graciously have given to us. And we know that it won't go anywhere except through your work. And we ask that you do bless these tithes and these offerings for your work and your honor and your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.
Stomp of Children's Church.
His friends didn't see him because he was the same color as the grass. was disappointed. He didn't think it would be fun to be a green thumb. So he said, I'm a pumpkin, round and fat. I can change my color just like that. And he became a blue pumpkin. Blue like the water, blue like the sky. Perky was so proud of his pretty new color that he decided to go for a walk and let everyone admire it being blue. When he came to a little pond of water, what do you think happened? Perky leaned over to look at himself and kerflop. He fell in the water. Poor little Perky didn't know how to swim. He called for help, help, help me, I'm drowning. But nobody came to help him. He looked in the water, but all he could see was blue like the sky. Suddenly, he saw his friend, Timothy Turtle, come swimming by, and he told Perky to climb on his back. Timothy Turtle gave him a safe ride back to the shore. Perky thanked him for his help. And right there, he decided he didn't want to be blue anymore. So he said, I'm a pumpkin, round and fat. I can change my color just like that. And he became a yellow pumpkin. He was proud of his new color. He decided to go back to the pumpkin patch because he looked like the sun. Well, that didn't make him feel very good. You look silly being yellow. We don't see yellow pumpkins around here. So he felt bad. He felt sad because he didn't like yellow anymore. So what did he do? He said, I'm a pumpkin, round and fat. I can change my color just like that. And he became a red pumpkin. Red like an apple. So he went back to show his friends, and when they saw, he saw people come into the pumpkin patch to pick out special pumpkins to take home. He thought he would get chosen because he was such a beautiful color. Oh, everybody likes red. Because he said, I'm a pumpkin, round and fat. And I can change my color just like that. But you know what? Nobody chose him. They looked at all the other friends in the pumpkin patch. And all the boys and girls wanted an orange pumpkin. So he said, I've got to do something about this. So he said, I'm pumpkin, round and fat. I can change my color. Just like that. And what did he become? Orange again. And just then a family, some like yours, came to the pumpkin patch. And the little girl ran up and said, oh, this is the best pumpkin I've ever seen. And the little boy says, can we please take him home with us? So Perky was scooped up in their arms. And he was taken home, and Perky was very, very happy because he was being himself. He wasn't being anything else. He was just the way God made him. So I want you to think about that today. Jesus made us in all beautiful colors, all shapes, and he wants us to be ourselves. Not like your buddy who might look like he's having fun, but he's really in trouble. There's all sorts of things out there that wants us to change and wants us to be something else. But Jesus wants us to be ourselves. Okay? Okay. Okay. We're so thankful this morning that God loves us and God is here to take care of us and that we don't have to change. He loves all of us. Bless all the boys and girls here today. Bless all the boys and girls everywhere.
Our scripture this morning comes from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Hear the reading of God's word. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be health to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. This morning I'd like to talk to you about what it means to really trust in the Lord. And really, to understand that, let's just look at the word trust for a moment. The word trust means, one, to trust in something, but it means to have confidence. It means not only to have confidence, but to be confident. And I think what that means, the fact that it gives both of those definitions, means that on one level of trust, it is basically to be confident in something. But as you grow in your trust, especially for someone like God, who is so trustworthy, then that trust can grow to a place to where you not only have confidence, but you have become confident. And there's a difference there because it's changing who we are. It's changing how we react to situations. I know that before I came to Christ, there were certain flaws that were apparent in my life that when I came to Jesus and fell in love with Him and found out that He had chosen me, some of those things immediately changed. Those things left my life. They were no longer a part. I saw an immediate change in certain areas, and the reason I saw the immediate change was because of my trust in Him. I saw that God was really in my life. That God wasn't just a gas of fume. That God wasn't just a theory or an idea or something of that nature, but that God was real. God made Himself real to me, and in that I understood that He was real, that trust in Him changed my life. That reality changed my life. And there are other areas that I have since needed greatly to put my trust in Him. And I'm learning every day still to put my trust in the Lord in every area of my life. And I hope that we all are. But when we do, we not only find that we have confidence, but we become confident. We become bold. We become secure. There is something that changes how you react to situations when you are secure in who you are. And our security comes through our trust in God. Our trust level. Our money, if you pull out a coin or a dollar bill, you'll find somewhere on there, you'll find the phrase, "In God we trust." And I went to the treasury.gov website looking for a little information, and I found some history about how
King God we trust came to be on our currency. And I'm just going to read some excerpts, just a few things that I got off of that, out of that history portion. And it said, from Treasury Department records, it appears that the first such appeal to have a recognition of God our Creator on our currency came in a letter dated November 13, 1861. It was written to Secretary Chase by Reverend M.R. Watkinson, minister of the Gospel of Reedleyville, Pennsylvania. And it read this way. Dear sir, you are about to submit your annual report to the Congress respecting the affairs of national finance. One fact touching our currency has hitherto been seriously overlooked. I mean the recognition of the Almighty God in some form on our coins. You are probably a Christian. What if our republic were not shattered beyond reconstruction? Would not our ancestors of succeeding centuries rightly reason from our past that we were a heathen nation? In other words, if we don't have something on our currency like that that shows where we put our trust, then if you know the Civil War had been going on during this time, and this guy's saying if this republic doesn't always stand, if something happens centuries later, will people look back and say, well, this was a heathen nation? And he's saying, we need to recognize God. And so he is writing this letter. This is a minister. And he's not the only one. He was just recorded as the first one to write a letter. Many other people spoke out and made similar requests. But it says, as a result, Secretary Chase instructed James Pollock, director of the Mint at Philadelphia, to prepare a motto in a letter dated November 20th, 1861. And in this letter, he said this, and this is just an excerpt. He said, dear sir, no nation can be strong except in the strength of God, or safe except in His defense. The trust of our people in God should be declared on our national coin. And as a result of that, it sort of began the political process of determining what would be, and finally the phrase, in God we trust, was settled upon. And years later, a law was passed in the 84th Congress and approved by the President on July 30th, 1956. The President approved a joint resolution of the 84th Congress declaring, in God we trust, the national motto of the United States. So, in God we trust, the national motto of these United States. All that started nearly 100 years earlier with a letter from a pastor, with a letter from other concerned citizens, individuals making their voice heard and letting them know how important it is that we recognize God as a nation, that we put our trust in God. You know, we are known as, and we say that we are one nation under God. We still say things like that. We have a pledge that states that. And it is the truth. Even though we have so many interest groups, special interest groups, and different lobbyists that are trying as best as they can to take religion out of everything that has to do with government, we need to remember what Secretary Chase said when he wrote his letter to the director of the Philadelphia Mint. No nation can be strong except in the strength of God are saved except in His defense. And it's not only true of a nation, it's true of our individual lives. None of us can be strong except by God. And none of us can really be saved except by God. And to recognize that in our lives, I mean, we've recognized it as a nation, and I hope we never forget it. I hope that we will continue to be those like this pastor who will speak our voice, who will be the one person who will write a letter and speak up for what's right, who will go out on November 6th and vote. Vote. It's your voice. It's your ability to speak. And we all need to speak. We all need to participate in this process. I remember someone saying to me one time, they said, this was probably when I was a teenager, they said, if you don't vote, you don't really have the right to complain. Well, I want to have the right to complain. So I'm going to go out and vote. I'm going to let my voice be heard. My voice might not make a difference. The voice of this pastor made a difference. It not only made a difference on the coinage, on the currency, it made a difference in what the national motto became for the United States of America. It all started with that pastor's letter. And it all really starts with a decision. It all starts with an understanding and a trust that we put in our God. If we want to be protected, if we want to know that we're safe, if we want to know that God is watching out for us as we move forward, then we have to put our trust in Him. And this scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. But not just a simple trust as in, you know, well, I trust that today's, you know, going to have a few clouds and maybe a little sun, and I trust that tonight's going to be cold around the bonfire out at the Trotter farm. I trust that I'm going to eat my share of hot dogs. You know, but nothing about that kind of trust is changing my life. But the trust that we have in God, where we begin to believe and trust in Him for everything that goes on in our life and for every area of our life and for every situation, that can greatly affect the way I react, the way I respond, the way I step forward, and the path that I choose to take. As we listen to God, as we put our trust in God, we're called to put our trust in God with all of our heart. Not with just part of it, not in just certain areas, but in every area of our life. We're not just called to trust God with our spiritual life, but we're called to trust God with our business. We're called to trust God in all of our relationships. We're called to trust Him in our... well, in every area of life. And he says, do not lean on your own understanding. And that's really why this is a proverb. A proverb really, I think, becomes a proverb because it speaks to the human condition. It speaks to the issues that we all deal with, and we all deal with this issue of trusting ourselves, of leaning to our own understanding. There's something within human beings that we sort of want to figure things out. I remember talking with a guy one time, and I've talked with a few people that have given me this response, talking to them about Jesus, and this guy said, I don't need a crutch to lean on. All you Christian people, you're just looking for a crutch to lean on. That's what his response was to me. And And I said, well, if you don't know it now, if you don't recognize it right now, there'll come a time in your life when you will recognize that you need a crutch to lean on. That you need more than a crutch to lean on. I mean, there'll be a day when we'll all stand before an awesome, holy, completely righteous God. And in that day, we'll all be praying that the crutch that we're leaning on is Jesus. Because it'll be the only crutch that matters. The only thing that will support anyone in the day of judgment will be Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It begins to sort of maybe shake up our priorities a little bit. Sometimes we just forget what's important. But to remember that we are not to lean upon our own understanding is so vitally important in our life because we want to. Have you ever heard the saying, God helps those who help themselves? Isn't that in the book of Confusions? Can't remember the chapter and verse, but it's not in the Bible. And it's not that it's not true. There's some truth to that. But mostly what that really means is that I want to try to do it. Mostly what that really means is that I feel like I got to do it. I feel like it's mine. I feel like I'm the one that has to do it. And if it's going to get done, I got to do it. And we don't realize sometimes that when we take that attitude, that we're leaving God out. That we're actually possibly leaving out the wisdom of God, which He said He gives to anyone who asks, and He gives it liberally. So God has put Himself in a place where He will answer our call. He'll hear our cry. He'll help us in the time of trouble. And yet sometimes we don't turn to Him in the time of trouble. We figure sometimes, I got myself in this, I've got to get myself out. I remember talking to a guy one time about Jesus, and he said, when I get everything straightened out in my life, I'm going to come back to Jesus. What's he saying? Right now, I'm leaning on my own understanding until I feel like that I have become good enough for God. And then when I feel like I've become good enough for God, I'll put my trust in God and lean on Him. And we talked about that. And he said, oh, that is silly, isn't it? And he asked Jesus to come into his heart and be his Lord and Savior. You know, that it is silly sometimes, some of the things that we believe. Sometimes when we sit down and we just work out the logic, we realize that it's irrational, that it doesn't make sense. But that doesn't stop us because there's something innate in the human condition, in human beings, to want to do it ourselves. I mean, that's why it's a proverb. That's why it's there, because He knew that humanity, somehow, we want to lean on our own understanding. There's just enough ego in us that we sort of love the feeling just think about it. There's been a few things that were question marks, or they were puzzles, and we wondered, well, how do you do that? And we figured it out. Remember that feeling? Yeah, I figured that out. I got this. Pretty good. You know? We don't need that feeling. We're just sort of feeding our own ego. Really what we need is to learn to lean on God. To put our trust in Him and not the trust in our own understanding. Our own understanding is oftentimes clouded. Just look at this political election that's coming up. I do encourage you to go out to vote, but I'm not going to tell you how to vote. I mean, I look at the two candidates, and one will say, he's lying about me, and the other will say, well, he's lying about me. Well, who's telling the truth? lean on to your own understanding? I don't know about you, but I'm going to go to God and say, Lord, you know this situation. You know what's going on. How should I vote? I'm going to have your understanding because there's no way I can know them. There's no way that I can know whether they're truthful or not. Leave me, Lord. Give me your wisdom. Let me have a peace in my heart, knowing that I'm walking in your guidance. Not leaning on my own understanding, but putting my trust in you. Verse 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path, make straight your path. Two words there that I want to point out to you. And the first one is acknowledgement. It says to acknowledge him. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I read that, and when I think about what it means to acknowledge, if you and I are walking down the hallway in church, and we pass by each other, and I say, hey, how you doing? And you say, fine, how are you? What did we just do? We acknowledged each other, and we walk on by. And one goes one way and one goes the other. A pleasant acknowledgement of one another. Is that what it's talking about? Acknowledge God? Oh, hey God, I'm on my way to do this. I recognize that you're there. That's not what it's talking about, is it? No, it's not. The word acknowledgement, if you look it up in the Hebrew, what it means is to know, and then it lists every possible way that you could know something. And that's what it means. It means to access knowledge, to gather in knowledge, to retain knowledge, to know in every way that you can possibly know something. And what it's saying is here, it's calling on us to, in all our ways, to acknowledge him. Now, another thing that that means is, and sometimes I've thought this, I thought that it meant, okay, well, while I'm on my way to go do something, I ought to take the time to acknowledge God and ask him to get involved. But that's not really what it means. What it means is that we've been given this awesome Word of God. And it means to live your life in a way where you're always acknowledging Him and asking for His knowledge and taking in the knowledge of God, learning about Him, about His great and precious promises, and receiving His instruction, so that when you are on your way, the knowledge of God is rising up in you and you're acknowledging God in the moment, receiving the wisdom of God as you're moving toward a particular thing to do it. That it's not about just a momentary prayer that acknowledges God, but rather a daily life that seeks after God to find the truth about God, to find the truth about His ways and what He said about life. What I found in college, college is such a wonderful time, but I knew so little about the faith, I realized. As a 20-year-old. And I was on the football team at Middle Tennessee State when they were in the Ohio Valley Conference, but I was sort of an average student, and average students often had mandatory study hall for football players. And so I found myself there often, and actually the first semester anyway. But after I'd get finished with my studies, because it was like a 2.5-hour study hall, and I would open up the Bible, or I would have a Christian book that was teaching me about Jesus, and I would open up those things and begin to read those books and begin to read the Bible. And I noticed after that semester how much I had learned in a semester. How that in certain situations I would find myself already knowing what to do because I knew what the Word of God said. That His wisdom was already there and it was rising up in me. And I realized that line upon line, precept upon precept, just a little bit every day, and I was beginning to grow and my life was beginning to change. Why? Because I was acknowledging God in my daily life every day. I was looking to him for guidance, and he was feeding me everything that I would need to know even before the trials would come. I realized all of a sudden that I was growing, that it was making a difference. I remember the other day hearing I was listening to Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey was talking about financial disaster and trouble in your life. He said, it doesn't come all at once. It comes by a thousand little cuts. A thousand little, and he didn't mean a thousand, he meant thousands. Thousands of little cuts, wrong decisions. The decision not to save money here, the decision to go out and spend money frivolously over here, the decision to do this. And it's the thousand little things that we do wrong that get us into financial disaster. It's not one big thing, usually. But he said it's the other way around in wealth building. And where it concerns wealth, it's a thousand little things that you do that'll save you money, that'll put you in a better position financially, that'll help you avoid some of the negative things of life. He said most people don't become wealthy overnight. It's a thousand little things that they do. It's the same way with your spiritual life. We're not going to be able to acknowledge God in a moment and Him just make our path rosy. But in the daily living with God and the daily seeking of God, acknowledging Him when we rise early in the morning, acknowledge Him before we go to bed at night, acknowledging Him all throughout the day, feasting on His Word, learning of Him, growing in the knowledge of God. And when the trouble comes, it's just like last week. You're standing firm on the foundation. Firm on the rock. And that leads us to that next word that I wanted us to look at. In all your ways acknowledge Him, He will make straight your paths. Straight. Straight. You know what that means? It means to smooth out. How many people could use some smoothing out of the situations in your life? Me too. I'm going to raise my hand on that one. Man, God has a way of doing that. I mean, think about it. The person, Jesus said, the person who hides my word in their heart and practices my word stands on the firm foundation. The storms come and the house stands. I think of that as things going smoothly in the midst of rough circumstances. A smooth road doesn't mean that there aren't going to be difficult circumstances. It just means that we're going to know what to do in the midst of the difficulty. We're going to know who we have our trust in, and that trust is going to produce a peace that passes understanding. That's going to sustain us through conflicts, through tough times. That's going to change our character so that we're even amazed. Because there have been times when I was amazed and said, I can't believe that I didn't respond in the flesh. I was nice. Lord, help me to be loving in that situation. You know? Why? Because we're growing in Him. We're not just staying the same. We're acknowledging Him in our life. So, He says in verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes. It's another way of saying what He's already said. To be not wise in your own eyes, to lean not to your own understanding, to fear the Lord. Man, that's why I love the Old Testament so much. I mean, you read those Old Testament scriptures and you see God, how holy He is and how He's calling His people out to that holy mountain. But don't come up on the mountain lest you die. Or the Ark of the Covenant, He says, don't touch it. If you touch it, you'll die. Why? Because it's holy. So one day they're carrying the Ark, and one of the guys stumbles, and it starts to fall. And to keep it from falling, one of the guys reaches up and grabs it to straighten it back up. falls over dead. Why? Because God's holy. Because God said not to do it, and He did it. But I was just trying. And you see the holiness of God, and you recognize we don't fear God like that today. Why not? A fear of God is only going to come from the knowledge of His Word. When I read the Old Testament, my fear of God is renewed. Because I see a holy God who's trying to redeem His people, trying to help His people, trying to lead His people in the ways of righteousness, and they want to do it all their way. They want to lean to their own understanding. And God's holy. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. I love that. I love that idea that when we're out spending multi-million dollars a year on vitamin supplements, so that what? So we can stay young and healthy and our bones won't ache and we will reverse the ages, reverse the effects of aging on the skin and all those things. And we're spending millions of dollars a year as a nation on things like that. I'm not saying don't do it. No, keep doing it. No. But what I am saying is this. God's saying, I'll be your youth rejuvenator. I'll renew your youth like the eagles. I'll be the one to give healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. But learn to fear me. Put me first place. To the extent that we're wondering about that right now. I don't know. It's to the extent that we don't fear God, but further than that, to the extent that we don't trust God. I mean, you know, we'll rave about, yeah, that's you take that stuff and it's going to do the trick. It'll help you. How do you know? I heard it on TV. They were saying it on the infomercial. Well, I read it in the book of life this morning. This will save you a whole bunch of money. Trust the Lord with everything. Put your faith and your trust completely in Him. Let your trust totally transform your life and how you respond to the issues of this world, to the issues in your daily life. And He'll never disappoint you. I'm going to ask the musicians to come, and as they do, we're going to sing a song entitled, Only Trust Him. As we sing that song, it may be that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today. It may be that there is some issue in your life where you need to turn it over to the Lord. We all have those areas in our life where we're fine. I trust the Lord in that area. But there are things, there are situations, there are relationships that it's just been hard for us to trust the Lord. Maybe there's someone here today and you're saying, I don't know that I've been able to really trust the Lord with my life. Give your heart to God today. Don't just give Him a part of it. Give Him all of it. There may be an area today that you need to give. Or there may be someone that's on your heart. Someone that you need to pray for. This altar is just an altar of ministry. It's an altar of grace. Just a place where we pray for one another and lift each other up. Whatever your need this morning, this altar is open as you stand and sing. Thank you. sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Let us pray. Holy God, we give You praise and glory. We thank You, Father, that You have given us Your great and precious promise. We thank You, Lord, that You have called us to put our trust and our faith in You, and that You've given us the ability to do just that. We thank You. Lord, as we go from this place, may we call upon Your wisdom. May we walk in that wisdom. And Lord, may we be Your faithful witnesses. And we give You praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.